I'm going to announce this during our announcement time. This week, my wife and children will be going back to Maine tomorrow morning, finish up their last week of school up there. And so I'll be praying for them this week. And then Thursday, Lord willing, I'll be going up for a day to wrap up a few things at the house. Continue to pray that our house may sell. It's one of them things that, if I'm not careful, it could distract me a little bit. But, as I've been telling people, it'll sell in the right time. And we hope not to have to hold on to it too long. But if you continue to pray with us about our house selling, that would be tremendous. But like I said, be praying for my kids. They'll be wrapping up their last week of school at Calvary. And we are official residents here. We're pretty much locked in. We're moved in on the most part. And things are going very well. And we're just excited. Again, we are just excited to serve you. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read only very familiar passage here, but only verses 1 through 5. We're going to stand as we do so, and we'll go ahead and read it responsively. I'll read the first, and you read the second and third and so on, right on down to verse 5, and we'll read verse 5 together. But I'll start with verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 5. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they're all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And verse 5 together, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we come before you now. Holy Spirit, I've submitted myself to you in preparing this message, and I pray, God, that whatever is preached tonight, that it's as you would preach it. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give me the mind, give me the eloquence, give me the lips to preach tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that we'll open our hearts to what is being preached from your holy book. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Preparing this message, I got to thinking about a church course, about, of course, a few goals. I preached on goals a couple Wednesday nights ago. What do we want for our church? What's it going to take for our church to be successful? I don't determine success by what we attain as far as possessions of this world, but I determine success. I think a good definition of success is simply finding the will of God and doing it. That's success. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, Pastor Weeks, Sean Weeks, is in the will of God. And as far as I'm concerned, from God's perspective, I am a success in his eyes because I'm in God's will. And whatever God's will is for your life, and if you are where God wants you to be, then you are a success in the sight of God. That's how I term success. People will go ahead and think success is, well, however much money you can earn or whatever things you can have. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to having some nice things and driving around in nice cars or having a nice home. I'm not opposed to that. But the truth of the matter is success, it simply comes from God. And when I got thinking about the church, got thinking about our church, what would God think is successful? I believe totally that the will of God would be for us to win souls. Bible says to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That's success. I believe that it'd be right for our church to grow. I just do. There's a vast amount of people surrounding us in Carver, in the town surrounding Carver. And I believe that everything that in our power, we ought to do everything we can to get tracts out, to go tell people about Jesus. I believe that would make, in God's eyes, a successful church. Am I looking for our church to be on some map somewhere in the Sword of the Lord or something? No, not necessarily looking for that. Am I looking for some big name? No, but I want to be exactly, and I think we all ought to desire to be exactly what God wants in a church. That is a soul-winning church. That is going out and doing the work of God. And by the way, we're the only ones to do it. Okay, who else is going to go knock on our neighbor's door? Who else is going to go ahead and go up and down the streets of Carver and Plymouth and West Plymouth? Who else is going to do it? you know, as far as I'm concerned, God has commissioned us to go ahead and do that. So what is success? I believe God would want a church like ours to be successful, obviously, and I believe to do that, it's gonna take winning souls. It's gonna do everything we can to go ahead and win souls and see people baptized, and as a result, see lives changed. And in preparing this message, I went on to think not just about success in the church, but what about success in our marriage? What about success in our family life? What about success in our relationships, in our ministry, if you will? And I'm talking about your individual ministry, whether it be a bus route, whether it be a Sunday school class, or maybe just cleaning the church, whatever it is, what can we do to become a success? How about in our everyday work life? You see, most of our lives here, to some degree, you know, we have our routine, okay? You know, whether you're married, okay, you have your husband and wife, you get up, you go to work, you supply for your family, you have your home life to take care of, you have to rear your children, you have certain relationships that you have, whether it be mom and dad still, whether it be other family relationships or work relationships, different things. You have your church, you have your walk with God. We have the ministry that we serve in. For a young person, it's a little bit different. Not all of them particular areas there is in a young person's life, in a teenager's life at this point. But you have to, what does it take to have a happy, a successful teenage life? It takes work, and it takes you getting along with mom and dad. It takes you getting along with others. It takes you, teenager, I'm talking to right now, to have a walk with God. And God wants us to be a success in every area of our life. So if we get to our text here, here is that miraculous day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Very familiar passage. Many people, many different backgrounds, many nationalities. At least over 3,000 people were there, at least, obviously. Perhaps many poor people. As well as rich, maybe along with some middle-class folks. I'm sure maybe in this vast crowd on this day of Pentecost, maybe there were some leaders of businesses, maybe different types of workers, men, women, children were all there as well. All heard the gospel. All heard the same word of God. The Bible says that about 3,000 was saved and baptized and added to the church. So why was it? I'm going to use this now, Brother Sean. Why was it, testing, can you hear me? All right. Why was it that this day was so successful? What made it successful? Was it Peter, the eloquent preacher? Yeah, to some degree, but I don't think his eloquence and so forth was really why this day was so big. Why was it that this day was so big? Was it maybe the city of Jerusalem, the city on a hill, a city no doubt that was close to our dear Savior's heart? No, not really. Was it prayer? Yes, that was a lot of it, but there's got to be one other key before that. What was it? Maybe a beautiful day to have a preaching service? Maybe, yeah, it's always nice to have good weather. Was it the fact that the Holy Spirit filled the place? That has to be it. Yes, that was very, very important. But before all of that could take place, in our text verse this evening, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they are all with one accord and in one place. Why was the day of Pentecost, I believe, why was the day of Pentecost so successful? Was it the preaching? Was it the power of God? Yes, but ultimately, in order for all that, all the elements to come together, they had to be in one accord. They had to be, that word accord means to be in agreement with, of one mind. Okay? They had to be in one accord. In order for the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit in verse 2 and 3 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in order for the Holy Spirit to move in and do a great mighty work, there had to be, the bickering had to be put away, the complaining had to be put away, any disturbances had to be put away. Now listen to me, they had to be in one accord. Okay, if we're going to have a successful church service, you know what? God, who is not the author of confusion, we have to be of one mind here tonight. If we're going to go ahead and have some great days ahead in our church, we must be in one mind, in agreement with. We must be in one mind. God, who is not the author of confusion, cannot go ahead and let loose his Holy Spirit in mass confusion.
So what was it that made that I believe, first of all, had to be they were all in one place, in one accord. They were in agreement with. So you're not going to find the bickering. You're not going to find the complaining. Actually, they were amazed. These people were amazed and stunned at the things they saw and heard, the Bible says. This is why God moved, I believe, in such a miraculous way, because they were in one accord. When they were in agreement with one another, then that was when God could let loose his Holy Spirit in a miraculous way, and God's work was done. You know, I got thinking, okay, about our church here. You know, if we're going to have big days ahead, if we're going to have some good days ahead, there's got to be a spirit of unity. And I thank God, you know, from what I can tell, you know, I've walked in and it seems like, boy, the people are together. Boy, that's wonderful. It seems like that you're doing what the Bible says, you love one another. You know, and by the way, we're all different. From your pastor to the pew, we're all different. We all have differences, okay? None of us are the same. But the truth of the matter is, if we're going to go ahead and do some great things for God, the truth of the matter is, if we're going to go ahead and have some miraculous things happen, if we're going to see souls saved, we must be in agreement with one another. We must be exactly what God wants us to be. And if we're going to be a success, as far as Faith Baptist Church, be a success in the eyes of God, then we must be in one accord with one another. How is it that a baseball team goes off to a championship and wins? How is it that a basketball team goes off? You know what? They're in one accord. They're in agreement with. You know what? They all on that team want one thing. They want the trophy. They want the ring, whatever the case may be. They're in one accord with one another. How is it that a business may grow? How is it that a business will grow? You know what? It's not by a bunch of bickering and complaining. You know what? The boss has to go ahead and have a mind and be in agreement with each other for that business to go on and do some great things. How is it that the church here in Faith is going to grow? You know what? It's going to grow by us being in one accord. You know what? I only have one vote. Yes, I am pastor. Okay, that doesn't mean I'll come in and just plow through everything. No, but I only have one vote. We want to go ahead and we vote on some things, different things. I have one vote. And if it's shot down, well, it's shot down. We won't do anything about it. But the truth of the matter is, if we're going to do some great things, we must, okay, with God's help, continually to love one another, continue in unity, and continue to be in one accord. And at that time, I believe God will go ahead and he's going to let loose that Holy Spirit of his, and he's going to come through here, and he's going to maybe burden some hearts about doing some soul winning. He's going to burden some hearts about maybe some area of the church. And let me tell you something, when we all get in an agreement, and I believe we are, but when we get in agreement with one another, let me tell you something, boy, just sit back and God's going to do some things. God's going to do some tremendous things. I'm excited about the future of Faith Baptist Church. I'm excited about what God is going to do. I'm working on some things, and by the grace of God, we're going to very slowly implement some things, and I want to see some big things happen. I want to see our bus ministry increase. How's it going to happen? We're going to have to be in one accord about this thing. I want to see souls saved. I want to see the baptismal waters stirred. I want to see new Sunday school classes start. I want Sunday school classes, if I may, I want Sunday school classes along the way where a lady would teach a young lady and a man would teach a young man and teach them the Word of God and have some Sunday school classes that I think would be right and good where Sunday school classes meet individuals' needs. That's what I think is important. Hey, but you know what? It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take us being in agreement with God. With God and say, okay, we're going to plow forward here. We're not going to just be happy with status quo. We're just going to keep on keeping on, and we're going to go forward for Christ. We need to be in one accord. If we're going to have some things happen in our church here, boy, we've got to be in one accord. You know, I'm not always going to be right. I like to think I am. I think sometimes my kids think Dad thinks he's always right. Okay, but the truth of the matter is, listen to me, hold on now, but I'm not always going to be right. You know, I want to do, you know, as I go, I mean, I ask God, Lord, you know, please, you give me wisdom. But the truth of the matter, you know what, we all need wisdom in every area of our life. Boy, that'd be a good thing to pray for, wisdom. And if we're going to see some great things, we're going to have God's wisdom, and we're going to have to have God's Holy Spirit. And if God's Holy Spirit is going to do some things here at Faith, we've got to be of one mind. For Peter, go ahead and preach eloquently the word of God and see the success at the end of the day to happen. You know what? You know what? These people had to come together. They had to quit their complaining. They had to leave their fights at home. They had to leave their problems at home. They had to quit their bickering. And you know what? They came in one place, in one accord. And that's when the Holy Spirit came in and said, okay, you know what? Look at that crowd down there. I believe at that time God said, hey, look at that crowd down there. The preacher's there. He's ready to go. And the end result was over 3,000 people saved and baptized and added to the church. Let me give you a few areas tonight. I know a lot of you are hungry. You've been patient eating after the church service. And I'll try to be short. I will try to be short. But let me just give you a few areas tonight, in areas that we must be in one accord. Number one, if you're going to have a successful marriage, you must be in one accord with your spouse. You know, in a day where well over 50% of marriages wind up in divorce, a lot of it is not just because of extramarital affairs, though that's some of it. A lot of it is just simply husband and wife can't get along. You know, the truth of marriage, listen to me. If you're going to have the kind of godly marriage, the kind of marriage that God wants you to have, you know what? You've got to learn to get along. Now listen, I've been married for 18 years, amen, okay? I'm working on 18 years, all right? 18 years, I better remember that. But the truth is, I've been married for 18 years, okay? Yes, we've had our ups and downs, but let me tell you something. When I married that gal right there, I promised her that I, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness as in health, that means for a lifetime. Whatever happened to till death do us part? Amen. Whatever happened to it? Now listen to me. I'm being a little frank here, and I'm not mad at anybody, but the truth of the matter is, if you're married tonight, let me tell you something, you need to do everything you can to get along. Boy, you know what? A good place to learn to get along, you be in church together. Read the Bible together. Pray together. Have a family time. You know, in a day and age where over 50% of marriages, they break up, it happens simply because they just can't get along. You know, man, let me just say this. You know, we ought to go ahead and continue to do with our wife what we did when we courted her. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow I won over my wife. Somehow. I don't know how. But you know what? A lot of it's just by notes, flowers, jewelry. Amen, you know. But you know what? But after being married all these, well, you know, oh, that's old hat. My wife knows I love, no, she doesn't. Oh, she does. I go to work and she knows. Yeah, but you know what? She wants to hear it. There's nothing wrong with saying, honey, I love you. But we ought to say that every day. I say it at least half a dozen or more times. I know I do. Just tell her, hey, honey, I love you. I love you. It's nothing for, hey, I'm trying to help you a little bit. Listen. I want our marriages to be in one accord. We're going to have strong marriages. We're going to have strong, if we're going to have a strong church, it's going to take families. Strong families. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, if you know, husbands, boy, we ought to go ahead and get that cell phone out. You say, well, I'm busy, you know, but you're driving down the road to work. Hey, you know what? Take that cell phone out and call your wife and say, honey, I just want to call you. Say, I love you. Hey, you know what? That goes a long ways. You know what that tells my wife? I'm thinking about her. Hey, I'm trying to say, we ought to go ahead and do what we did to win her heart. Have a weekly date. Well, I can't afford it this week. Well, you could probably at least afford to take her out for a cup of coffee. Spend time together. Hey, that's what I'm trying to say. If you're going to have, if we're going to have a strong church, if you're going to have a strong home, then you need to go ahead and take the leadership there and say, hey, I love that gal, and I promise her for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death do we part. Forever. Forever. Hey, I'm talking about our marriage. I'm talking about the very fact, if we're going to go ahead and stay together, if you're going to go ahead and have a strong marriage, you got to be in one accord with one another. Wife, hey, you need to do the same. I got on the men, but wife, you do the same. You do what you did to catch him. How about the favorite perfume that he likes? How about the little notes? How about the little I love yous? Maybe as you pack your lunch, his lunch for the day, maybe you could just write a little note and say, hey, babe, I'm thinking about you. I love you. You say, well, was this a marriage seminar tonight? No, it's preaching. But what I'm trying to say is if we're going to go ahead and have some strong marriages, you need to get along with that gal, and you need to get along with that husband of yours. So very, very important. You want things to go ahead and happen great in your marriage, you know what? You need to get along. You getting along will help your children. You fighting and bickering, they hurt your kids. That hurts your kids. Okay? I mean, they see that. And they've already got a mental picture that, okay, that's a normal married life. And that's why, you know what? That's why the percentage of divorce is going higher and higher, because they see it as a young age. And it's already, they've already got their picture. That's what marriage is all about. So if or when they get married, and that might be one reason why there's so much shacking up today, because, well, you know what? Just in case this doesn't work out, we're just going to go ahead and shack up. That's wrong. That's sin, and it's wrong. And what we do, listen to me, what we do, we need to get along in the home, because your little eyes are watching you. And they ought to have, your children ought to have a picture of what marriage is all about, a good picture of what marriage is all about. It'll affect them down the road. Let's move on here. We must be in one accord with our work. Whatever happened to simple, hard work and loyalty to your work? I'm talking about, you know, you get up and tomorrow morning, some of you guys, maybe some of you gals as well, you're gonna go punch a time clock. You work a job. And if you are obligated to go ahead and work there, you need to be loyal to that job as long as you are there. You say, well, I don't like the job. Well, you know what? You are obligated to that job. If you don't like it, then you go ahead and go through the proper procedure, okay? And you get done that, give them a 2 weeks notice and go find something else if you think it's better. But the truth of the matter is, so many today, listen, we are producing lazy workers today because of a lazy attitude, because of our lazy mind. The truth is, we need to go ahead and be in one accord with our job and with our boss. You know what? You go and you say, you roll up your sleeves, you punch in, you be there on time, you roll up your sleeves, you go to work, and you work 40 hours for 40 hours pay, and if you work overtime, let me tell you something. Your boss will notice that and say, you know what? Hey, that guy deserves, or that gal deserves a raise. That guy or gal deserves a promotion. Why? Because he or she showed up and worked. You know what? That's a little bit of one. That's an agreement with your boss. That's being in one accord with your boss. You know what? We need some hard workers today. People that just will stick by it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, you need to do it with thy might. Whether you like it or not, hey, you know what? You have a family to feed. You have a house to pay for. You have rent, whatever the case may be. We don't need to go ahead and sit back and rely upon the government. We just need to go ahead and roll up our sleeves and simply go to work. Whatever happened to hard work? Whatever happened to whatever the boss says, I'll do it? I know that's hard for a man to take, but the truth of the matter is, if it's not your company, that means you're not the boss. Okay? And you, as an employee, you follow his agenda. You know, when I was my previous job at Calvary as an assistant pastor, you know, it wasn't my agenda at Calvary. It wasn't my agenda. It wasn't my. I didn't set up the church the way I felt it should be. You know what? My job was to go ahead and follow the man of God. That's Pastor Christner. Bottom line. Okay? Now, he was very gracious, and he would say, hey, Pastor Weeks, what do you think we should do about this? You know, if he asked for advice from times, he would do that. But the truth of the matter is, my job was to go ahead and follow my boss. Okay, it was not for me to come in, just change it and say, okay, pray, oh, we're good. No, I wouldn't have a job, rightly so. And the truth of the matter is, we need some hard workers. We need a society of men and women who go out in the work field, you punch in on time, you show up on the job, you work hard, and by the way, you work hard, your kids will see how you work. Your children can tell whether you're lazy or whether you're a hard worker or not. And what I'm trying to say, you know, you say, well, Pastor Weeks, boy, your first Sunday night, you're being a little frank. Yes, what I'm trying to say, and I want you to go ahead and be a success in your Christian life, and if you're going to have a good testimony on the job, well, you need to show up. You need to be in agreement with your boss. Whatever he says, you need to do it. And if you don't like it, you know, do the right thing and gracefully go and say, okay, boss, I'm given 2 weeks, and go find another job. Do it the right way. But what I'm trying to say here tonight, we need to be in one accord with our marriage. We need to be in agreement with our spouse. We need to be in agreement with our boss at work. We need to be in agreement with our family, number three. You know, we need families to be an example to this wicked world. I'm talking about families. Whatever happened to the family? I'm talking about families that love one another. I'm talking about families where dad and mom and little Susie and little Johnny, whatever the case may be, the children, whatever, we need to be in one accord with our family. Get in tune with your kids, parents. Find out what their interests are. Talk with your children. Love on them. Talk to them. Listen to them. Teach them. We need to be in one accord with our family. You know, the world really doesn't know what a family is anymore, and that's why we ought to set the example as Christians. We ought to be the example setters. We ought to be the example of what a good, solid Christian family is all about. We need to be in one accord with our relationships. You know, of course, I've hit this a little bit, our family members. You know, I thank God I still have a mom and dad. You know, I want to stay in agreement with and stay in line with my parents. You know, I know that they won't be around forever, and the truth of the matter is I need to stay in tune with my mom and dad. You know, if you're an adult here, you have mom and dad, you know, you ought to call them once in a while, and I do. I don't call them as often as I should, and I'm guilty of that because just we've moved different things, but the truth of the matter is I don't. You know what? But when I do talk to them, I say, hey, Dad, Mom, I love you and I thank you for all you've done. You know, it's so very, very important to get along with our relatives that we still have. Get along, kids, with your brothers and sisters. Be in one accord with them. Get along. Set the harmony in the home. Is it really worth losing a precious relationship? I'm talking about a family relationship over something that doesn't matter tomorrow. Well, I've seen brothers and sisters, I'm talking about maybe adults, you know, they've gone ahead and split off. They haven't talked to each other in years because of something happened way back years ago that won't matter in eternity. I've seen children who's grown up who have never talked to their mama and their daddy for years simply because of some sort of division, something that doesn't even matter. Hey, the truth of the matter is it really worth it? Is it really worth cutting off the relationship with mom and dad because of something that probably didn't even happen, that's probably even irrelevant? You say, no, it wasn't irrelevant. Yes, it is. They're your mom and dad, and you need to love them. They took care of you all them years. They fed you all them years. They clothed you all them years. They gave you a roof over your head, and you say, it's totally irrelevant. No, the truth of the matter is you need to keep that line of communication, and you need to love mom and dad. If you're a child here today, boy, you want to learn that. You, no matter what, you love mom and dad. You stick by mom and dad. Mom and dad says something, you get up and you go ahead and do it. And if you're an older child here tonight and you have a mom and daddy still alive, you ought to be in communication with them. And if you have a division there, boy, you ought to be the Christian. You ought to be the one and step up and say, I'm going to make it right. Hey, being in one accord. Hey, I'm talking about families tonight. We need some good old-fashioned families that love this book, that love God, that love church, who just be in one accord. And let me tell you something. You get in one accord with your relationships. You get in one accord. You get in the same mind with mom and dad. Let me tell you something. The blessings of God will go ahead and flow through you like nothing else. How is it that the Holy Spirit of God is going to do a great work in your own life, in your own family, in your own ministry, if you have a disagreement, if you have some sort of complaint about somebody who has invested in you? I'm talking about your mom and dad. I'm talking about maybe some line of authority in your life. Boy, we need to just get right. If there's a struggle, if there's a problem like that, boy, you ought to be the one. You know, past weeks, I'm not going to live like that. And you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to call that relative. I'm going to call that friend. I'm going to call that one with whom I have a disagreement with. And I'm going to do my part, at least get it right. Hey, that's Bible, by the way. Love one another. Boy, it's good to go ahead and read. Good to go ahead and talk about. But boy, when it comes right to the point of having to do it, whoa. You know, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:32, we know it, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You got a little disagreement with your mom and dad who you've not seen for years simply because of something that, hey, you know what, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. You know, maybe there's church relationships that need to be mended. I've seen the harmony of the spirit of a church just kind of go right out the window because of a key family not getting along. I've seen it. I've seen it where one family can't get along with another family. They'll still stay in church. They'll come in. They'll hit one side. The other will come in on the other side. And they make sure they don't go out the door at the same time. They make sure they don't come in the door at the same time because they can't face each other. That's wrong. You know, the truth of the matter is, and again, I'm just glad I walked into church. I believe the unity's here. But let me tell you something. It's going to take a lot of work. We got to just keep it. If we're going to go ahead and see big days ahead, if we're going to go ahead and see some great things ahead, if we're going to see the Holy Spirit of God fall upon our church, it's going to be by us being in one spirit, one mind. We move on here. And then we must, and I'm almost through, be in one accord with our God. For all of this to happen, we must stay in tune with Jesus. You know, we must be in daily Bible study and prayer with Jesus. You know, we must stay in church. Boy, it'd be a good thing for us to all have a Christian service, a part of the church that we can be involved in. We need to do our best to be in harmony with those around us. Hey, if God is going to go ahead and do some great things, you know what? It's going to start with us. If I, as pastor of this church, am going to be involved in leading our church to better days, I need to stay in tune with God. And the truth of the matter is, if you're going to have some good days ahead in your family, you know, it'd be a good thing regularly as a mom and dad, as children, to get together and read the Bible together regularly. I'm talking about devotion time. You know, for we have chosen, just say what we've done, we have chosen, on the most part, 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, you try to wake 4 kids up 6 o'clock in the morning. But the truth of the matter is, with our schedule, that's where we fit it. But the truth is, I do enjoy that time. 15, 20 minutes of just reading the Bible and praying together. Nothing fancy. But let me tell you something. When your kids get older and leave the house, they'll remember that. They'll remember that. I was talking to a young married man just the other day, young couple, up in the church, our previous ministry. He kind of knows some of my schedule of what I've done with my kids as far as our devotion time. He says, Pastor Weeks, I will forever have it etched in my mind, our devotion time with mom and dad. Because his dad got up with his kids when he was a kid, and he had devotions. Truth of the matter is, your children, A, will be a whole lot better off, and B, they'll remember that. They'll remember that time. You know, we need some leaders in the home. Dad, it's us. Really. Now you say, well, past weeks, listen, I'm a single parent, okay, and I'm sorry. And we love you, and I'm going to pray with you. But if you're a single parent, then you, if you've got some children, then you must do everything you can to try to help lead your child to do right. But you must do everything you can to take this book and teach your child the Word of God. You must do everything you can to go ahead and get them to church. Hey, listen, but we do need some leaders. Our country is dying for leaders. Our country is just hurting for leaders. And the truth of the matter is, we need some leaders in our home. If your family is intact, boy, Dad, you ought to take the bull by the horns, if you will, take the reins of that home. And you lead, and you guide it. And you teach your children right and wrong. You teach your children that church is important. You do your part in teaching your children the Word of God. Boy, it's so very important. And by the way, that'll create a family unity like never before. Never before. We must be in tune with our God. You know, for the day of Pentecost, and I'm almost through, I believe to have had the success that it had, it starts in verse 1. They're in one place, in one accord. They're in complete agreement with. And when they are of one mind, that was when God said, hey, he let the Holy Spirit loose. And boy, hearts were soft and tender, and many, many lives were changed, and many were added to the church as a result. It wasn't because maybe it was a beautiful day. It wasn't because of an eloquent preacher. It wasn't because of other circumstances. One thing, I believe, had to happen first. That's coming together and being in one accord. You know, I have a vision for this church. I want to see some great things. I know we've got some great days ahead. It'll take time. I mean, I wish, boy, just like that, we could do this too, you know? And I understand that. And boy, I've learned so much wisdom from my home pastor. But the truth of the matter is, in time, we'd be of one mind with Christ. We'd be in agreement with, I believe, that with us implementing some things, I believe with us doing our part and laboring in the ministry and doing what we can for God, I believe, boy, there's going to be some great days ahead here. We're going to see some folks added to the church. We're going to see some folks saved. We're going to see some folks baptized. And boy, that ought to be the heart of our church, is to literally reach out and do all we can to reach a lost and dying world for Christ. But if we're going to have that success, it's not going to come by having a bunch of money. It's not going to come by having a bunch of things and doing a bunch of things. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take us rolling up our sleeves, going out, rapping on a few doors, passing out some tracts, just being faithful to the things of God. And I believe that's going to determine the success of Faith Baptist Church. But we must be in one mind. We must be in one accord. You know what? I believe tonight we are. I believe we are. I honestly do. And I see a lot of, you know, your heads, you know, and that's wonderful. Okay, and the truth of the matter is, let's keep it, and let's do our part. Maybe we all can raise a little bit higher our duties, so to speak. Maybe we all could maybe become involved in being a part of a visitation time or a soul winning time or passing out tracts. Hey, whatever we can do to go ahead and enhance the ministry of Christ here, boy, we ought to do it. We ought to do it. How about you tonight? How about your marriages? How is your marriage? I mean, are you in tune with your wife? Are you in tune with your husband? How about your ministry? I mean, let me say this. You know, I know that when you work with kids, boy, there are days, I know, there are days. Oh, I got to face it again. I know. But the truth of the matter is, we need to go every Sunday with a heart that we're going to do something and help them little boys and girls. Are you in tune with your bus ministry? Are you in tune with your Sunday school class? Are you in tune with your ministry, whatever it may be? Are you in one accord with them? Well, they don't agree with, you know, but are you doing what you can to reach the heart of that child, the heart of that teenager, maybe the heart of that adult? How about your ministry? How about your work? And how about your job? I mean, you know, your job, your work could be a whole lot more fun if you just go and say, man, I get to go to work and support my family. I know, I've been there. Day in, day out, same thing. You're in the same spot every day. Whatever it is that you do, I mean, same day in and day out. But you know what? If you change that attitude around, boy, you know what? You look at your boss a whole lot differently. Say, you know what? I get to go ahead and go to work today. I get to put food on my table for my family. I get to go ahead and put clothes on my back. You know what? And you ought to thank God for your job. You say, well, I don't, it's irrelevant whether you like it or not. God gave it to you. Work it. Go to work. And you know what? Let me just say this. If you just, you know, some of you may have to do this very delicately. But if you go up to your boss, okay, you say, boss, thank you for this job. Now, some of you, maybe some attitudes here that you've had, but, you know, you may want to say, hey, boss, could I sit down with you? You may want to sit down before I tell you this, because he may be a little shocked that, what, you're thanking me, you know? I mean, you know what I'm saying, but the truth of the matter is, you ought to go up to your boss and say, boss, thank you. You know, that'll go a long ways in your job. You see, a lot of things here, it's just a matter of attitude, how we look at it. If we would look at our job in God's perspective, if we would look at our ministry in God's perspective, if we would look at our marriage and our family and our relationships in God's perspective, boy, you know what? It'd be tremendous, the unity that you'd have. It'd be tremendous, the amount of blessing that God would go ahead and pour on your life. But oftentimes, because of our attitude, he restricts the blessings that he wants to give you. Hey, how am I going to bless? You know, look at the attitude you got, man. You know, a lot of it's just us, hey, say it, oh, God, I'm sorry. You know, I got a bad attitude. Get right with God and say, you know what, I'm going to work with the right attitude. I'm going to church with the right attitude. I'm going to go ahead and get some things right with relationships, and it'll change your life. I've said enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I preach what you laid on my heart this evening. I pray, dear God, that if every area, I'm talking about every area of our life, if we're going to be successful, we need to be in one accord with you. It starts with you. And if we would go ahead and be in one accord with you, then we're going to be in one accord in our church and our families and our marriages all along the way. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, he's right there just waiting to be let loose even more. But maybe you have restricted it some simply because of some attitude problems in our life. And I pray, dear God, that you'd break down any attitudes, any barriers tonight that would hinder these dear people of Faith Baptist Church to be blessed. I pray, Lord, that you would bless these dear people. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Pastor Weiss, God spoke to my heart. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm the only one looking. But you say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. There's some issues in my life. I don't know what it is. Maybe there is an attitude. Maybe there's something like this. But you say, Pastor Weeks, I want prayer. Would you please pray with me about